Hey, it's Jeff and Jeremy from the Ultra Running Guys. And if you're here, you probably already know that we started this podcast to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey.
But what you may not know is that in addition to this podcast, we also host two live races in the Wilmington, North Carolina area that are designed to do the same.
The first is the Final Countdown, which takes place on September 16th. And whether you've never run before or you're a hardcore ultra veteran, this race is designed to help you find your limits. And we'll be there to help celebrate with you.
And we have now opened registration for the Hydra, which will take place on April 20th and has a 50K individual, a 50K relay, and a half marathon option. Whatever option you choose, we promise that slaying the Hydra will be unlike any race you've ever experienced.
All right, so mark your calendars, share with your friends, and visit us at theultrarunningguys.com or check out the links in the show notes for more info.
And with that, enjoy the episode. And remember, when in doubt, just show up.
There's lots of reasons to be lifting heavy. Again, something else we could dive deep into, but essentially every time that you put one foot on the ground, you're putting at least 2.5 times your body weight through that leg. Now, if you think of what that looks like, if you put your body weight plus 1.5 more times on your back and try to stand on one leg, for most people, they're not going to be able to do it. So imagine the mechanics that you're putting through that leg every single time your foot hits the ground over a 20, 30, 40 mile run.
And welcome back to the Ultra Running Guys. You got Jeremy Reynolds and Jeff Winchester of the Ultra Running Guys. And the reason that we're here is to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey. And first off, as always, thank you to the Ultra Running Guys family. We appreciate you tuning in more than you know. And we would absolutely love the rating, the review, any of that stuff if you're finding value. So share with your friends. So as you know, our goal is to provide value in a way that equips you to take your next step in ultra running. And we most often do this by sharing stories of other runners because we strongly believe that we can all learn from each other's journeys. But every now and then we come across someone that is an absolute expert in their field, and it only makes sense to pick their brain and ask the questions that we believe that you would want to know. So here we are. So our guest tonight is a U.S. Marine turned physical therapist that has a passion for endurance and focuses on sport-specific strength and conditioning, as well as injury prevention and rehab, which, of course, we all want to avoid. He has a strong background in triathlons, running, rugby, and Olympic weightlifting, and he clearly has the patience of a saint because he recently performed a running analysis for both of us, and it was immediately clear that he is the real deal. So stick around to hear what a runner should be looking for in a physical therapist, why you should consider making a PT part of your team, even when you're not injured, and how the right PT can help you stave off injury, increase performance, and most importantly, maximize longevity in the sport. And with that, from Change the Game Performance Therapy, Dr. Brandon Ostrander, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me, guys.
So here's the deal. So this is obviously an ultra running podcast. We know you got a background in triathlons, but this will be episode 77. And to date, you're only the fifth guest that we've had on that at the time of the recording, and tell me if this is true, but has personally not tackled an ultra running distance. Is that true?
That's true.
Awesome. But
pitiful. That is pitiful. Can we find somebody better?
We'll bring you around. But we also want to point, I mean, the reason that we're doing this, like I said, man, you are the real deal. I think the knowledge that you have, your passion, it just became very clear very quickly. And you know, what you're doing for us has been fantastic. So after the interactions, the assessments and all that, and I know you're helping work with athletes that are doing up to the 200 mile distance. So you're definitely no stranger to the ultra world. So we're stoked for the conversation. But before we get into really all the physical therapy stuff, we kind of want to know a little bit more about your story and how you developed a passion for endurance. And so you started distance running middle school. You've since been competitive in, like I said, rugby, Olympic weightlifting, triathlons. Now you're focused on some run specific goals. How did endurance sports become such a passion for you?
Yeah, so basically endurance sports really became a passion like after rugby, essentially, after having some injuries both in the Marine Corps, not really so much during rugby with those things kind of lingering, it was time for me to try some other sports. And then I started running, tackled a couple races, started getting into biking and swimming. Now, like, I'm going to shoot for some triathlons. And then when I started getting into more, it wasn't so much the racing, it was more of the lifestyle of training day in and day out, you know, working it into vacations sometimes for the training and the racing. And I just fell in love with the whole process of it. It was a way for me to continue to challenge myself. And it always kind of gives you like an objective way to measure your progress too. Play the game of like, how do I make myself better? How do I, you know, change X, Y, and Z to have a better outcome from the next race or triathlon or run, whatever it may be.
You know, it's so funny. You know what I like totally connected with there was planning it into your vacations, right? Because I was just saying how my wife deserves a vacation that doesn't include a run or a way for me to find a run. But so I feel
you. So does mine. But we're working on that.
Really? We're supposed to do that? Like,
yeah. I mean, they may appreciate it every now and then. But...
Probably so.
So you touched on it a little bit. I'm interested, man. You could tell us if it's none of mm-hmm. our business. I'm an Air Force guy. So we read an article.
I think that means you're not as strong.
Yeah. So you can pick on me now. Let's being a Marine. Over with. But read an article. So no, you were a Marine from 2008 to 2013. And you talked in that article, one, just from knowing that was a tough time to be over there. I know that there were some busy times there, right? And I'll let you get into as much detail as you want. But I know you probably saw some rough stuff, came home with some injuries. How did endurance sports play into your kind of your transition back to being a civilian after all that you had been through with that? Because you talked about it a little bit in the article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically what I was talking about a lot in the article is, you know, you got a lot of guys that are coming back to dealing with, you know, so many other things that are not just physical injuries as well, like PTSD and all those mental health issues that come along with it too. And it's just a complete 180 flip from, you know, having this team or your basically your brothers that you're so used to training with and they're all just a part of your life to going back into the civilian world where, you know, you're trying to go to college or get a job all of a sudden and it's just completely different. And you don't always have that mentality every day that you're training for something too. So it does help kind of fill that void as well. Not only on the physical side of being able to better yourself all the time, but finding a community of people who are essentially doing the same thing day in and day out. So it's kind of like you're finding that group and that community again, just in the civilian world again, instead of in the military. Regardless, like you said, whether it's the Marine Corps or the Air Force, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Once you get out and you had those guys, that group of guys you're with for 4 or 5 years. And again, you're just trying to find that again. And it helps you deal with some of those other mental health issues that come along with getting out of the Marine Corps sometimes as well.
Do you think that's why what draws you to the endurance side? You mentioned earlier that it wasn't so much the racing, but it's the training. Do you think that's what draws you to the training aspect of it more so?
Absolutely. Yeah, it definitely draws me a lot more to the training side of it as well. Like I was saying, it's the process of training and bettering yourself and, you know, still always trying to find a way to see how you can take yourself to that next level.
That's a good outlook.
Yeah. And we talk, I mean, obviously community is huge for us and you always see groups. There's F3 that has a really strong kind of community around it, CrossFit, some different things, right? And I think that the ultra, especially the ultra trail community has one of the things that people are really attracted to that way, where you can come in with, it doesn't matter, you know, kind of what you're walking in with, but be accepted, be a part of something that is also a positive experience where you're bettering yourself, but immediately kind of be around people that you can feel connected to. For us, it's been really one of the top things we like about, you know, the ultra community.
So in the intro, Jeremy introduced you as Dr. Brandon, right? Right. Tell us a little bit more. What are all your credentials?
All of my credentials. The three big ones I have.
All the letters behind your name.
All the letters behind my name. PT, DPT, physical therapist and doctor of physical therapy. CSCS is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. You know, strength and conditioning degree, you need a 4-year degree for and a certification to kind of be a strength and conditioning coach for any collegiate or pro team. And then USAT, just USA triathlon coach.
With all the fields you could have done, so you've got all these credentials behind your name, right? You could have done anything. why have you chosen to focus on working specifically with athletes? Like, what do you find most exciting about that? Because I'm assuming that there are plenty of other fields, plenty of other businesses that you could have walked in and had a, you know, fantastic career as a PT.
So that's a very deep question. So first off, there's a reason that I work, I'm able to work with athletes and working at a cash-based clinic versus working in the insurance realm. So long story short, if you work in an insurance, they're basically looking at, can you walk? Can you get up the stairs? That's about it. There's no taking anyone to that next level or, you know, treating anything that's at a high level, whether that's post-injury or not. You can only take them so far before they considered you recovered enough to discharge you. And a lot of times with athletes post-injury, I will see them from that point on. So if we're talking about, like, you know, someone that tore an ACL, by the time they're done at an insurance-based clinic, they would come for that higher level training to return to sport at a higher level and work with us. Same thing with running. They're not really looking to try to give you the ability or the reimbursement to do those things. And again, when you're not working in a clinic like this too, you're going to be working with three different people all in one session. But now we have the ability to take all these things and wrap it all up and kind of transform the way physical therapy is looked at for athletes by going through an entire assessment that's going to take an hour and a half to dive into what the sport specific things are you need to look. Like for you guys, we did a full running evaluation. We have a specific set of run performance tests we do. And then we'll look at isolated strength based off what we see off those things in your run analysis. Working at a traditional PT clinic, you're not going to have the time or the ability to do any of those things. It'd more be assessing like what your pain is, how do I fix your pain? And then usually you're good to go and figure out on your own how you're going to return to running at the same level that you were before.
So I think that's a perfect segue into, because obviously the whole goal here is for our listening base is to get the value of, okay, how does a physical therapist play into becoming a better ultra runner, right? From longevity, from performance, just from a health aspect. And so one of the questions was, okay, so if we think physical therapy, we think, hey, I'm broken and I need to go see somebody, or maybe I'm getting old, right? And I need somebody to kind of help me get around. That's not what you are doing. And it's one of the things that why when we went to talk to you the first time, I was like, okay, here's a guy now that can help me move in a different way, not necessarily because I can't move, but because he can say, hey, here's your weaknesses, here's how you get better. Obviously, not everybody can come see you. Not everybody's local. So if they're listening right now and going, okay, hey, I want to find somebody like Brandon, what should they be looking for? Are there buzzwords? Are there certain things that they should search? Like, what would somebody look for that would set that apart versus any other physical therapy?
Honestly, if you're looking for the niche base of a physical therapist who treats runners, a lot of times if you just search for run analysis or clinical run analysis or running physical therapist, those people will pop up now. It becoming a little more of a niche for PT is more common now than you would think. I think I see a lot more of that on the West Coast than I do on the East Coast. But if you just Google those types of easy things, eventually you'll find someone who's looking kind of in the same realm with those things as well.
And I 100% agree with what you're saying. So, but I'm going to ask you a question that's going to make it sound like I don't agree. Why can't I just go onto YouTube and look up some running mobility exercises or strengthening exercises that runners should do? And why can't I just go do that?
You could look some up, but do you know what mobility or strength exercises you need to become an optimal runner?
Right. And so what I do is I will Google run strength exercise for runners. Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody like me who says, well, I think that should cover it?
Yeah. So I would say, well, you need to put yourself through, you know, take a look at your run analysis, your run performance tests, you know, your single leg balance, all that type of stuff, how it breaks down from your run analysis and where your weaknesses are. And then you would want to tailor a program through there. But again, going on top of that, you can look up exercises, but are you performing them correctly? Are you hitting the same detail that you need to make yourself better? Like, are you even appropriate for the level that some of those exercises are yet? Because as you've realized, we go through basically phases of stability, neuromuscular control, strength, and then power. So if we're not building all those foundational things first, those exercises are going to mean nothing to you, and you're going to go through them in a way that's not going to make you stronger or a more efficient runner.
So That's a great answer. And that's actually what I was hoping you were going to say. And so I know I sound like a jerk with my question, but the reason I ask is because I've been going for a few weeks myself now personally. And, I've looked on YouTube. I have found the exercise I'm supposed to do. Do I do them? Sure. I've gone through waves or cycles where I've tried to do them and stuff. And sometimes I've had success, other times I've not. But what I've learned by going through the running evaluation with you and going through just in your office and where we kind of walk through some of the actual exercise themselves, what I'm learning instead is why I should do those particular exercises and what those particular exercises will fix because of the running mechanics and problems I have as a runner. And even though I can Google those exercises online and stuff, I don't see that. And I don't get that kind of connecting point. So I just kind of do them with the fingers crossed, hopes this is going to solve the problem I think it's going to solve because my hips bother me. So this says it's a hip mobility exercise, but I have no professional telling me other than the YouTube videographer. And so I do sound like a jerk when I ask you that question, but that's what a lot of us do. A lot of the listeners, right. A lot of runners are going to go online and look to find exercises that we can do. And we will laugh at ourselves because after you and I left, we're like, aren't they just going to tell us to do the things we thought we were supposed to do anyway? Right. But we don't know why we're doing them. And some of them we shouldn't be doing yet. I personally do not have the mobility or the neuromuscular connections, if you will, to do some of the exercises that I see online that I feel like I should be doing.
So we talked a little bit before this, right? There's the treating the symptom versus treating the cause. And a lot of times, hey, my hip hurts or this hurts. And if we try to just treat the symptom, my calf is tight. Well, if I can stretch my calf all day, but if it's really originating from somewhere else, then that's never going to fix the problem. Well, here's one thing I want to get into because a lot of people listening go, oh, run analysis, right? Yeah, I did that. I went to, I went to the local running store and I hopped on the treadmill and they tell me what shoes I need. Or, hey, a coach looked at a video of me running and said, hey, straighten up a little bit, do this. And to be honest, I had kind of thought of a running analysis in a similar way, but I figured, hey, there's more to it. It was so eye-opening to come in there and run through the different things that we ran through. So talk to our audience really quick. And think about it this way too. Again, if somebody's listening and they need to go find out, they want to go do a clinical run analysis, what are the things that they should be expecting and why do we do it that way?
Yeah. So some of the things you'd be expecting from a run analysis is first figuring out if there's any injuries or anything like that that's going to affect what your run analysis is going to look like. Because that's going to be the first thing you're going to want to address. Second, you're going to want to get someone up on a treadmill, grab a couple videos from the back, the side, and of just the feet. Right from there, we can tell a lot of things from just those views, whether we're getting the right amount of knee flexion through different phases of gait, whether you're getting good single leg stability. Do you have adequate hip stability? Are you rotating through your trunk the way you need to? Is something going on at the top or the bottom of the kinetic chain that's causing your knee or your calf injury? Because those are the big things we're going to look for, is right. Like you had mentioned, okay, you have a tight calf and it gets tight every time you run. Well, why does that happen? What is your calf doing extra or not correctly? Or is something else not doing its job that's forcing the calf to do two jobs? So we'll take a look at all those things. So after we get off the treadmill, we'll go outside. We'll run a little bit outside because sometimes you get a little bit of variation from the treadmill to outside. But the treadmill just makes it a lot easier for us to keep you in one place to get some good videos. And based off of those, you already kind of are drawing some conclusions. So then we put together all these tests that we want to do that are going to be stationary out on the mats, looking at single leg strength, your ability to stabilize on one leg. Can you balance on a single leg for a certain amount of time? Can you go through a heel rise efficiently? What does your lateral hip strength look like? Can you hold a bridge without wavering? Can you rotate your trunk or your hips without one or the other moving? Just all those types of things. You're kind of already drawing some conclusions from the run, but now you're kind of confirming it with the things either on the table or on the mats and in a more isolated form.
I'm going to point out a couple of things. So one, as we went through all that, one, it was like, oh my gosh, why is it so hard on this side and not on that side? You get those types of things, right? We start to realize, hey, my body, mm-hmm. I feel strong. I can go out and I can run hard and I can do well. But then I'm in a plank trying to lift my right hip and it won't do what I want it to do, right? And it's like, okay, what I really appreciated about it, and then I'm going to tell you kind of the statement where I was like, this is what it's about, was you could show me the video and then you can say, hey, remember where you weren't rotating all the way through your back like that? look at your arm swing here, right? Or, hey, remember when we had the hip thing? Look at how you're crossing over, your right foot's turning out, those types of things. And it's like, oh, okay. So now it starts to make sense for the little pieces moving into the big piece versus if you just looked and said, yeah, you know, your right foot's turning out, turn it back in, right? You know, which is how a lot of us, at least I would think about it. What was super interesting to me is when you said, don't worry about fixing those things. Worry about doing the exercises to fix the cause. You're swinging this way, your right foot's turning out. Don't try to fix that. Do the work and they'll fix themselves. And I was like, ah, like that to me is the magic of what you do and where physical therapists come in. Because again, if all I did was focus on trying to turn my foot back in, then I'm missing the whole point and I'm not doing the work in the right place. And I think that that's where a lot of us really tend to put our effort instead of having somebody that can point where the work really needs to be done.
You couldn't have found that on YouTube.
No, I could not have found, like, again, I mean, I'm sure that there are great, like, I know we talked about when I came in, I was like, hey, I think my hips are weak, right? So, I mean, I knew that I could have done some hip strengthening exercises. There are plenty of things I could have done that probably made it better. Just from experience, I've had lower back pain. I know that when I do strength training, that tends to go away, right? So there's things that we can kind of do on our own. But this was so specific, and that's what you said. And we're going to ask a question later about what should everybody be doing, which isn't fair based off of this conversation.
Right. YouTube.
But those are the kind of things, if you're listening, just want you to be aware that, hey, there's value in understanding what you are doing specifically, but not just what you're doing, but why. And then what are some exercises that you can do on a daily basis to help start to work through to remedy that? Because again, it's not necessarily correcting the specific symptom, right? It's correcting what's causing the symptom due to something probably not carrying its weight in the chain.
Yeah, I think as a runner, I think our attitude towards this type of thing needs to change. I mean, a lot of times we go to a PT or go to a doctor or whatever it is because we're injured and we're looking at it as a way to get back to running. Or if we are injured, I know I've talked, when I went and saw Brandon first time, I said, look, I know I've got some knee issues that are going on right now. If you're going to tell me not to run, I'm probably not going to come back. Right. And so we tend to worry about that kind of thing once we're injured, but the attitude should shift and kind of look at it from a completely different perspective that we're not injured. And if we want to have running longevity because we love the sport, then do these things now, do your analysis, your running assessment now, to figure out the things you could work on, not because you run like a baby giraffe like I do, but instead because you have the opportunity to become a stronger runner for longer. And I don't mean stronger because you're going to be winning podiums and stuff, but because, like, you're going to actually be a stronger runner for a longer period of your life. And many people who listen to this podcast, mid back of the Packers like myself, right? And they're just loving the sport and they want to stick around for a long time. And this is the way you do that. Getting some sort of assessment from somebody and begin to work on some of the smaller things and build from that point is what I think. And it's kind of what I'm still learning. You know, I've been to a variety of PTs in my past, but I don't think I've started to click and connect the idea that I want to be a runner for longer until just a couple of years back. And I was like, I need to kind of take a look at some things.
I know we're doing a lot of talking. I'm going to let you talk again in a second.
No, that's fine.
Another light bulb that went off for me was, so we talked to Hayden Hawks a couple episodes ago, but he uses Inside Tracker, and a lot of people use Inside Tracker. It's blood tests and that kind of thing, right? And one of the things that you hear people that do that, they do it on a regular basis. It's like, hey, see where you're at, make the adjustments, and then you come back and you test. And for a running assessment, I had always thought about it as like, oh, it's just this thing that you do to kind of start. And then after talking to you, it's like, oh, okay, running assessment is the exact same kind of tool. So you do a running assessment, then you adjust, but that should be a regular thing, right? You should come back and now see where we're at, see what the adjustments have been, because where I am now compared to where I am in a year may require different action. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of one of the things I've tried to incorporate into my practice to change people's perspective on as well. Just like you've already alluded to, running assessment is not necessarily for someone that's injured. Because a lot of times if someone's injured, they don't even want to run on the treadmill. So doing those things first and getting a run assessment, seeing where you're at, how do you build strength through these things, you know, and how do we fix the issues? Take that time, put it into your training, come back down the road, retest, put the two videos side by side, see what's changed and what hasn't changed. And then you pick out the next pieces again on how to make yourself even, you know, to take yourself to that next level after that. but it should be more of at least a yearly assessment, just like you would go see a doctor once a year, go see a PT and get a run analysis done. If it's going to be something that you're trying to do for the rest of your life, there's always going to be something you can do to improve it.
So I have a run coach also. I see you as PT right now. How does having a PT who specializes with running, right, fit in with having a coach and even a doctor? Like, how do you fit in on the overall team?
Easy enough for me. I've had a great experience working with coaches. More coaches than not are very open to what I have to tell them too about their athletes, because it makes their job easier. They know how to tailor things at this point. They don't, you know, most coaches don't look at you as like you're trying to step on their toes. They're completely open and saying to hearing like, you know, your athlete needs to work on this, this, and this, and may need to pull back on the intensity a little bit until we get X, Y, and Z sorted out. But that just helps them modify their training program for you, so you don't have to stop running, but we can keep you training and work together in that aspect too. If it is an injured athlete. But if not, if we're talking about a run assessment, we can tell them how to incorporate these strength pieces or these strength exercises into the endurance training on different days. So if we do have to get into heavier lifting and whatnot, I've talked to coaches and been like, hey, you know, this individual has had a history of stress fractures, needs to be working on heavier weightlifting to create some bone density. We can't put this heavy strength training on the same days that they're doing track work or intervals, or else, you know, it's not going to turn out very well. So I can work with them on that aspect too, on how to program those different types of things, so the athlete's not getting overworked as well.
I think it's good. Not that it's ever seen it as at odds, but I think a lot of times the perception is I have a coach, that's what I do for running. Mm-hmm. If I get broken, I go see the PT. Right.
Right.
But I do, again, hearing you talk about complimentary, I know, Jeff, you said the stuff's right in Training Peaks, right?
Yeah. So Brandon has access to Training Peaks as well as my coach.
Yep. So I think it's such a good, because every, I mean, what coach wouldn't want their athlete to improve form and strength and everything else so that they can, you know, continue to work through that training plan? But
yeah, right. I asked my coach, I said, would you like me? I said, is it okay if I give my PT access to Training Peaks? He said, absolutely. That's fine. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So I felt like an idiot asking him.
Yeah. That's why I got a Training Peaks account as a coach. And really, I mean, I train a couple people here and there, but mostly it's so I can get shared access as a coach to everyone that I'm working with who already has a coach. So I can help them with their strength training and we can touch base between the two of us easier.
Yeah. Well, and like I mentioned, right? So I know that you've worked with some athletes that are, you know, working up to the 200 mile distance or have. We've got a local, in fact, I think Emily talked about it in her episode, you know, the DecaFit star, Tara Jackson, I think has done some work with you. So you're working with some pretty kind of high level caliber athletes. And so I would imagine, especially when you get to that level, now it's really important to be coordinating with different parts of the team. You know, we're kind of the average, get done with the corporate job and the family and go run when we can. You know, I don't know if I necessarily have a team per se, but
you're getting a team.
Yeah, I'm building a team. But all right, man. So let's talk injury prevention and longevity. We want to know how we do it right. And so we just talked about all this stuff about being specific, but let me ask this. What are 3 to 5 things that every runner should be doing kind of period? If you said, sure, things, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to be individualized, but every runner at a minimum should do X, Y, Z.
At a minimum, a yearly run assessment. That'll be the first and foremost thing. Secondly, you need to find some kind of individualized strength program for your sport. And that way, so you're incorporating it into your yearly training plan. If you're still going to want a periodized program throughout that as well. 3 is going to be, like you were just talking about, create that team. Right. So you have your coach, you have a strength coach, you have a PT, and one person may overlap a lot of those things, but you want someone that's going to specialize in each of those things.
All right. So we've talked about the running assessment piece. So you mentioned individualized sport specific strength training. You said a second ago, you know, hey, some people should be doing heavy weights. And that's actually one of the things that we asked, because we've talked to my coach, Mark Bottenhorn. He's big into heavy lifts. You know, he does a lot of the, like the high rocks type stuff. So endurance athlete, but really strength-based. And we have on the other side where people say, hey, I do a lot of light or body weight or those type of exercises, right? So should runners lift heavy?
Runners should lift heavy. There's lots of reasons to be lifting heavy. Again, something else we could dive deep into, but essentially every time that you put one foot on the ground, you're putting at least 2.5 times your body weight through that leg. Now, if you think of what that looks like, if you put your body weight plus 1.5 more times on your back and try to stand on one leg, for most people, they're not going to be able to do it. So imagine the mechanics that you're putting through that leg every single time your foot hits the ground over a 20, 30, 40 mile run. Outside of that, it's an easier way, instead of just trying to do track workouts all the time, to improve power and speed. It can be something that's concurrent with it, and also a different way to train, so you're not always adding in miles you don't need to. We talked about injury prevention already. That goes on the run assessment side. So you figuring out what pieces you need and how to start to build strength through that. Because there's two different things when you're talking about like neuromuscular control and actually building strength. Neuromuscular control is going to be more of that body weight type stuff, the banded type stuff that you're talking about that some people will allude to, which is great. And it has a place in what strength training is, but you still have to lift heavy as well. And the last piece I'm going to touch on with that is, especially because stress fractures are something that you have a high risk for with running, best way to start to improve bone density for runners is strength training, putting your body under a lot more load than just your body weight.
So I'm going to jump in because this is just awesome for me. So I've been working with Brandon for, 5 weeks, we'll call it, because like 4 or 5 weeks. We are doing no heavy strength training because I have absolutely zero neuromuscular control. And so because of that, I say that because I think it's important to know that, again, we can go out on and find a series of exercises or heavy lifting we could start getting into. But if you have no control and no balance and no ability to control your leg and how it's supposed to drive off the ground or even lift up, like me trying to learn how to walk, then it seems it's counterproductive to strengthen muscles when you can't control them.
Yeah, or I would imagine that you would potentially increase your risk of injury from lifting compared to if you built that foundation. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So that's, you know, I still like to think of that as what strength training is. The word strength training doesn't just have to mean lifting heavy. Mm-hmm. So that neuromuscular piece should always have a role in everyone's sport specific program. But we have to build those foundational blocks first before you can start throwing weight on top of it.
No, I think that's good. So everybody listening, so that's the purpose of step one, which is the running assessment, right? Hey, let's figure out where you're weak so we can protect against it and then figure out the right exercises to make sure we get to a place where we can now lift heavy, which is what you're talking about. Okay, so I think it's a given that the recommendation is everybody should do a running assessment. Now, not everybody listening is either going to, you know, for different reasons, work with somebody regularly for kind of sport-specific strength training. So if they're listening, let's do this. So we talked to our patrons. Brooklyn had a question, and she's saying, and these two kind of go together, but if you only got a short amount of time, are better off doing traditional lifts, like, this is my question, and then we'll get into hers, traditional lifts like squats, deadlifts, things like that, or focusing on like the single leg bridges and hip abduction exercises. You know, if I've only got a little bit of time, I'm going to just try to get it in. Where should I focus, or does it really depend on the individual?
It does depend on the individual, but when I do come across this with people, I'll pitch it to them like this. All those single leg exercises and the banded exercises, can you use those as a warm up for your runs and then do all those other lifts with that little bit of time that you have to strength train? Because you're going to do, or you should be doing, a warm up for every single run. Incorporate that into that and think of it more as a dynamic and a movement prep 10 minutes. So then you're still hitting all those neuromuscular exercises and then do the heavy strength training with that little bit of time you have.
Okay. So that was, so talking about, we're jumping forward, but since you said it. Okay. So most of us are going to go, yeah, I warm up in the first mile, right? So I go out, I keep my heart rate low, I'm warmed up, myself included. What does a running warm-up look like, and why is it important? And I think most people that come from like a track background or, you know, that ran in school, they probably get this because they do a lot of the A skip, B skip, different types of things where they're moving around. But in your professional opinion, what does a warm-up look like and why is it important?
Yeah. So one thing I'll always ask people too, when they tell me that's their first mile is the warm-up, Now, so do the math and just imagine what your half marathon time would have been if you didn't have to warm up for 2 miles. Imagine you did that first. But again, a warm up, I consider it more of a movement prep. So I'll look for something that may be a little bit of a stretch or a hip opener to start. And then working into some of those isolated exercises, like a single leg bridge or a hip thrust, whichever may need to be a little more pertinent to that person. So I call those would be my open chain exercises. And then you start getting into closed chain exercises, which would essentially just be your standing exercises at that point. So maybe getting up and doing some lateral hip work on one leg or hip airplanes, and then moving into something that would be a submax plyometric, like those pogo exercise to get your Achilles and your tendons working now, as well as your muscles. And that way you're hitting all aspects, kind of going from static stretch to hip opener to isolated movements to more of a full system or full limb exercise to something that's plyometric. So you still got to go through all the progressions of it, even though it's a warm up. And it sounds like a lot, but it takes less than 10 minutes.
And so if you boil it down, why is that important? Why should I take the time to do that?
Boil it down. If you're not warming those, you know, those certain things up before you run, you're not going to be have the right mechanics while you're running, and you're setting yourself up for injury. Especially, and you can talk about different aspects of whether that's tendinous or muscular.
Yeah, I mean, I agree to what he's saying. So my coach does different types of run warm-ups depending on the runs I've had that day and the day before. So it is tailor-made a little bit. But even when we get into speed work, I have a series of drills that I do after I've done the warm-up several miles, right before I get into intervals and stuff. There are sprint drills he has me stop my watch to do before I do the sprints himself, so that because I've been doing a warm-up at a easy pace, now I'm going to go to sprints. I kind of do the sprint drills to get the muscle memory going, oh, we're about to move a little bit faster now. So they're great. Problem we have as runners, and particularly in ultra running, is we have such a long amount of time we're wanting to go train, and we're like, I'd already have an hour and a half run today. I don't want to spend another 10 minutes on the front end when I've already woke up late and I'm trying to get this in before my family yells at me.
It's easy to make that excuse for sure.
Yeah. And so that 10 minutes is generally that snooze button that sometimes happens, but hey, who's counting?
Right. Yeah. I mean, extra coffee time.
Right. Well, you know, that happens. And I got to scroll my social media before I get running because that helps.
That's right. And that's important too, right, Brandon?
That's right. The coffee is the most important.
I will say I do notice a difference. And I was just, you know, at one point there's a guy going through some type of rehab program, right? Doing things like fire hydrants and different things. And I started donkey kicks. I started doing some of that and I realized how much different it was. And I was like, oh, okay. If I just take a few minutes and do some of these things, and now for it also be specialized, the exercise that you gave me after doing it, as soon as I open some of that up and do the rotation, I notice it when I go run. Things actually feel smoother. And one of the things for me was I don't run through my big toe. And I've noticed that when I open all that stuff up, I tend to feel like I'm running a little bit straighter in that. So I do think it makes a difference. I still struggle to talk myself into doing it every time, but that's a personal problem. But if you're listening, I do think it's well worth it. Do as I say, don't do as I do, right?
That's right.
Do as I do, because I'm doing it. I think it's great.
Yeah, that's true. You've actually talked about making some pretty solid strides, knees.
Well, yeah, my knees have gotten better. I don't have the itch anymore. I still can barely walk, but that's a whole nother conversation. It's a true story. I have zero balance. Again, I do look like a baby giraffe when I try to stand on one foot.
So, and I kind of ruined Brooklyn's question. Brooklyn's question was, if I had to pick one or two to do religiously, what would they be? So if you're short on time and you can only do a couple, what are the two things? And it sounds like it kind of depends, but if you told somebody, just at a minimum, do these two things before you go run, what would your answer be if I pressed you on that?
Before you go run, I would say do a lateral hip exercise, you know, whether that's like banded toe taps or something standing, not necessarily on the floor, and some kind of march to start working on your single leg balance a little bit, single leg strength. Those two things will hit a lot more than one thing. So marches will start hitting hip flexors. You can throw some heel rises in that one variation, but lateral hip's going to be the big one.
Are you familiar with 100 up?
No.
We've talked about it before.
You're going to leave us in suspense?
Yeah. So 100 up is essentially it starts as a march in place. So if you put your hands straight out and you were to knees all the way up, right? And it's recommended to do it barefoot. But the 100 up itself is actually a run in place just like that. But the whole point is to get that full range of motion in place so that it forces everything to straighten up. You kind of land, you know, a good placement on your toes, but it works the hip flexors and kind of that whole chain as you get that full range of motion. I was just wondering, since you said march. Okay.
So one of the problems with that is that for me, if I were to do that, I would start doing probably the last 50 of them where I've got crossover, my knee coming in front, because I'm losing like to strength in my hips and stuff to be able to do that with good form.
Yeah.
So I want to do that in front of a mirror, at least until I can maintain that.
And I think the idea is to build up, you know, not necessarily start with 100, but get to the point where you can do 50 each leg, 100 total, because then you've built that strength through the chain and through the hips and everything else to be able to hold that form. But okay. No, I was just interested. All right. One last thing, at least for me. So we met you at the grand opening. We went down there and got a chance to talk. And like either that day or the day before, I was like scrolling on Instagram and I saw some guy working out and he had these weird things on his feet. And I was like, what is that? And there were some type of toe spacers, right? And then we go in and talk to you and you're like a huge proponent of toe spacers. And one of the things we're talking about was, hey, when you work out barefoot, and two, with toe spacers. And so now Jeff and I both have toe spacers, you know, because some of the things that when we looked at what we're doing, that was definitely apparent that I could benefit from them. So if somebody's listening, like, what are you talking about, toe spacers? Tell us from your experience what it is, why, and how that can help the average runner.
Yeah. So basically all they're going to do is align your toes the way they're meant to be. So the big issue is the shoes that we've worn for so many years. And a lot of it's narrow running shoes as well, closes down our foot essentially. So all the toes just start to crush together after putting so much load and running and running and running or lifting over them. The bone just starts to deform that way. So their toes are all pointed in. When we're not able to push through the big toe because it's not pointing straight or pointing inward at this point, we're not able to, you know, get a good push off in that part of our running gait. And then it's going to force you to go over to the lateral side of your foot a little bit more, which will cause its own issues up the chain. But essentially, you know, your big toe is going to be your input to your glute max for true hip extension when you're running and to generate power. And then the reason I like them a lot is, and I always tell people to wear them like you guys to when you're strength training, is that it's not going to be enough to just wear them and go watch TV. You have to actually wear them and put some stress through your bones and through your body so they start to adapt to the position that they're put in. And there's no better way to do that than when you're strength training. And as far as strength training goes, whether you need toe spacers or not, I always advocate for runners specifically to strength train barefoot. You're always in your shoes. So you're basically always telling your foot that it doesn't have to be strong because it has something else that's going to keep it stable or help support it. So it can become weak. If you just at least give it that time when you're not running to be barefoot or to be barefoot when you're lifting, it's going to keep your feet strong. You know, so we always talk about the hip causing issues down the chain. If your feet are weak, they're going to cause issues up the chain. So easiest way to kind of combat that is we're not going to, you know, necessarily go run barefoot all the time, if at all. So at least get out of your shoes while you're strength training.
We just had a guest recently and he was talking about the footwork that he was doing, Aaron. And he was saying his feet are his most jacked part of his body and what a difference it's made, you know, to really pay attention to the feet. So when I heard that though, I was like, okay, now, you know, but I'd be terrified that I would drop something on my foot because I'm barefoot. And you gave me a great piece of advice. Do you remember what it was? Don't drop stuff on your feet.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could imagine I said to you. You asked me like, I can't help you fix that. Don't drop anything on your feet.
Yeah, I was like, oh. Real intuitive.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you had the same thought that I do, that's the answer. Just don't drop it on your feet.
I mean, a listener right now, they're like, this is value add.
Don't drop weight on your feet. I do think
whether you're wearing shoes or not.
Right. Oh, that's true.
Don't drop anything on your feet.
That's true. It just feels like an added.
That's why you don't lift heavy like me.
Added risk. That's right. That's why I'm. If you use 2.5 pounders, then you'll be all right.
No, you drop a band on there, you're safe.
I thought that was so interesting, though. And again, I started, it's, and maybe it's like when you see a car for the first time and then you see them everywhere, right? Or you buy a car and then it's like, hey, they're everywhere. I started seeing ToeSpacer stuff, or it's the Google algorithm that realized I was bored. ToeSpacer. But I think it's super interesting. I think for everybody listening, if that's not something that you're aware of, check it out, as well as kind of the barefoot strength training. Because again, that goes into what Aaron was talking about as well.
We need to switch gears.
Let's do it.
Everybody's waiting to talk about injuries.
So talk about injury prevention.
Yeah, but everybody's thinking, I'm only going to go talk to a PT if I'm injured and everything. So what are the most common injuries that you have seen that runners have?
I'll give you the three top ones I always see. It's going to be knee injuries, hip, and hamstring. Knee is usually the biggest ones I usually see is patellofemoral pain or lateral knee pain. Hip is usually going to be kind of tied in with that. It's usually lateral hip pain that I see. And then hamstring injuries is generally just hamstring strains.
For the knee pain, for example, most runners are going to say, yeah, I have knee pain. It is a byproduct of being a runner. Is that true?
That's not true. No. So the two injuries I kind of just alluded to, lateral knee pain is going to be one of the biggest ones. And it kind of has gotten that term that I don't really like to use a lot, especially with runners, is IT band syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it always presents as stabbing, shooting pain at the sides of your knees. But what's that coming from? Yes, like IT band can be pulling on it, but why is that happening? A lot of times it's going to resort back to your hip mechanics and your hip strength, right? So if we're not getting that stability or that strength up at the hips, we're going to see a bunch of other faulty mechanics down the chain that's overloading one of your quad muscles or your hamstring, and it forces that stuff to pull on the side of your knee to cause lateral knee pain. A lot of times with patellofemoral pain, which they have coined runner's knee, is underloading the quads a lot of time. So the best way that I will treat that is I will start figuring out how much you have or haven't loaded your body with weight. I will start loading quads a lot more and getting you under a lot of heavy weight. And then that stuff starts to kind of get better as you start progressing your strength training.
Yeah. So he's basically reading my chart.
he's like, let's look at you, Jeff.
Let me close that.
Right.
So we didn't have this, but I mean, you hear all the time, right? That, oh, in fact, somebody just said to me the other day, like, oh man, the body's not made for that. You know, ooh, that's a long way to run. And, that's going to catch up on you. Think about when you get older. So as somebody who has studied all the things that you studied and worked with the athletes and seen all the injuries, if you've read Born to Run, the case is made that that is what the body is made for, is actually endurance running. And that's what we're built for. What is your expert opinion on that? Are we actually made to run?
I 100% think we are built to run. Yes. And does that look the same for everybody? No. But we are all built to run, and we all should be able to run.
What do you mean by that? That it won't look the same for everyone?
Everyone's got different anatomical things that are going on. You can look at some of the things we never dove into as much is kind of the rotation of different parts of your leg, whether that's at your femur or your tibia, or different mobilities you might have going on. And people are born with, born with different types of hips that can have little differences from one person to the other that can affect the way that you're running. And how, based on how long different parts of your body are in relation to other parts, whether that's your torso or your legs, your stride length would look different, your cadence would look different. And those are the things I kind of try to talk people out of a lot too, is I got to have 180 cadence, got to have 180 cadence. Well, sometimes you've trained different and you're built different than this person over here. So you running at 165 might not be beneficial for you to be running like someone that runs with 190 cadence. Mm-hmm. Different things work for different people.
That's why you go see somebody who knows what they're talking about.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And to me, the other big takeaway, because, and I think we've talked about this before, right? But the easy assumption is that, oh, I'm good at this or I'm not. Mm-hmm. Because from the time we were little, you could just run, right? But I can pick up a guitar and I can strum it, but it doesn't mean that I'm either good at it or not, right? And I have to remind myself sometimes that it is a skill set. and you're in the business of helping people develop that skill set by showing weaknesses, how to strengthen, and how to fix some of that so that when you go do it, it's not just like, oh, my body's made for it, or it's not. It's, am I using my body in an efficient way so that I can do it properly the same way that a guitarist would practice and get better and be able to eventually, you know, do something great with it. And so if you're listening, just let that be a lesson or a thought that, hey, if you're doing something, fight the thought of, this is just me. I'm just not good at that, because somebody like Brandon can, I think, help.
Well, yeah, I agree. The caveat to that is that it's also good to embrace that we are anatomically different and that we have different, we have unique patterns of how we run, and because of just our own training and stuff over years and things. And so when most people go try to figure out how to be a better runner, they're going to look at what the average is or the norm is based off what they've Googled on whatever website. And I think it's important to know that it's okay that you don't hit that mark that you believe is the normal mark. Instead, go figure out what you are designed to do and talk to somebody who can help you with that.
Yeah. And I think an important part of that is keeping in mind that the measure for success is not always going to be pace or performance, right? It's going to be pain-free and injury-free and longevity.
Yeah, which is mine. Like me, the win is longevity. It's not speed or anything like that.
So. Right. So it may not all be, naturally able to run fast, but we should be able to run without pain and injury, you know, as long as we're doing, I think, the work to support that. Does that sound fair, Brandon?
Perfectly fair. Yep.
All right. So let me ask this. So we're going to have a mix of people that run roads. I mainly run roads because I can walk out my door at 4:30 in the morning when it's dark and do that versus driving to a trail when it's dark and headlamp and all that. But I'm curious because I tend to feel less, you know, little pains and things when I'm running trails more often. From your experience, does running trails help either with strength or just kind of balance or anything like that compared to road running, or do they both have their, I guess, probably strengths and pitfalls?
I would say they both have their strengths and pitfalls. I think with trail running, you have to be a little more responsive and you have to be quick to respond to different terrain. Now, running on the road, obviously you can work on pace a little bit more and focus on those types of things. So it doesn't really change how hard or how much effort you're putting in. You're just focusing on two different skill sets, whether you're on the road or the trail. And when you start talking about those things, the kind of the questions I get with trail runners a lot is, should they be training, doing all their strength training on uneven surfaces all the time and all those types of things? And I will always steer people away from that, because you don't want to change a surface like that or try to do your exercise on a Bosu ball or a balance pad or anything like that, because it's not going to make you any better, because you're basically changing what your uneven surface is too much, and you're not working on your proprioception anymore to still be an efficient runner, whether you're on the road or on the trail.
So are you a PT who gives exercises that you do or do not do yourself?
I do them 3 times a week.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
How about warm-ups before your run?
Every time.
I believe him too.
Yeah, yep. I do too.
That's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on. We had that conversation, right? Because half the time you go to the doctor and they'll tell you something, and you're like, I don't believe that you do that, even if you believe it, right?
Right.
And so this is a little bit of a side, and we'll talk about it on the way out. But man, you put some good posts and kind of videos and things out there, some really helpful information about what thing, you know, people can be doing. But, you know, you're doing some of the lifts in those videos, and it's very clear that you're no stranger to that stuff. And I was like, yeah, I think he does it.
I have to be able to demonstrate everything too, right?
That's right. That's what I was about to say.
Pretty sure you just told me that today.
Yeah, I told him and his intern that. I said, see, he's got to be able to demo what was done, because when I go to try the exercises or whatever, it looks like he makes it look real easy and I look ridiculous. But because I just don't have that kind of control. And so, but they have to be able to demo it. And so I asked the question because I know he knows how to do them all. And you cannot do some of the stuff if you're not used to doing them. You can't.
This is a question that I had that I think I skipped over before, but are there any resources that we're going to talk about kind of yours specifically, but if somebody is not local and they're out and they want to go look for a PT, we kind of talked about maybe some of the ways you could Google the run assessment, that, but are there resources or networks or something that would are available that you would point somebody to that would kind of be more in your niche versus just in UPT?
Yeah, I don't know any off the top of my head okay. that are specific to all that. What I would say though is if someone is not local, if they reach out to any of us too, we have had plenty of people ask us because they're not local, and we, you know, we'll try to find someone that's within their region and point them in their direction.
Oh, that's huge. Well, it's interesting though, because I know you said that it's not local that he could reference them to, but I do believe y'all offer stuff for people who are not local as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, we definitely do have strength training programs that we run specifically for runners. I build out those that are a virtual component with 2 full strength days and 3 days of some of that neuromuscular and mobility work that we were talking about earlier as well, which has an entire platform where we put all of our blogs, our content, and all of our information into that group as well.
Is that the Run Strong program?
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. So for everybody listening, we'll put in the notes Run Strong program, and I'm going to link too. So you've got a couple of different accounts. So you're on Instagram at @Dr_Brandon_Ostrander. You've also got at CTG. So that's Change the Game Endurance, which is kind of your specialized, because there is a Change the Game main one, but you've got the endurance one up there, which I think has been super valuable in terms of the posts you've been putting on there. And then it's changethegamept.com, and I'll make sure I link it specifically to the Run Strong program.
Can I talk a little bit more about the Run Strong program that you're talking about though?
Yeah,
so absolutely. when you say it's an online program that you design for those to be able to do strength and conditioning, how do you come up with the exercises for that particular individual?
Yeah, so what I do with it being more of a group-based one, I'll pick an exercise, but mm-hmm. everything has regressions and progressions for the exercise. So that way you're not stuck with doing, you know, say if it was a single leg squat, it doesn't mean you have to do a single leg squat because you may not have those, you know, the right mechanics for those. So it'll have a regression in stagger stance or double leg, or just changing what you're using for weight for that one until you can progress into the next one. Some of the other things we have on there as well is videos that we've done. So you guys can put yourself through your own self-assessments with some of the things that we may have done in clinic as well. So you can kind of get a little bit of a view on, you know, if some of these things just aren't in your wheelhouse to do right now, and you can kind of guide yourself along the way with some of those things with like bridge progressions, mid-back rotation and those types of things.
And is it interactive? In other words, if I'm living in California and I signed up for your Run Strong program, then I could interact with you through messaging or something like that?
Yeah. So the entire thing is an app that is just Change the Game. It's our own app. There is a message board on there where we would put everything. And there's also a direct messaging system on there as well to get in contact with me.
And is it a set duration, like sign up and it's 4 weeks or 8 weeks or something like that? Or how does that process work?
We just have a monthly fee on it. It has a 7-day free trial on it to start. And then it's just one monthly fee for the entire month, and it'll just renew until you decide to cancel or keep going with it.
Okay. That's good to know. You know, the big thing to me is the insight, knowing you. And like we talked about again with the patrons, I feel like there's a lot of people out there that say they can do things, and a lot of them I don't trust, whether that's fair or not, right? But I think that there's people like you that have earned my trust, because again, just because somebody has learned something doesn't mean that they're good at it. And you have a knack. And so that's one of the things, I think if you're listening and you're interested in something like that, I highly recommend that you check out the Run Strong program, just because I know that you're behind it. I'm sure there are plenty of other resources out there. And if you know somebody local, great. But if you're looking for something, like, you know, you were talking about, sure, you can check on YouTube,
right?
But knowing the brands on the other side of Run Strong, it's something that I would at least recommend you checking into.
It's worth considering for sure.
Yep.
And there's also the other option too, to work with just a completely individualized plan as well. They could just be put on Training Peaks, where I could work one-on-one with a coach, which I, you know, do with plenty of endurance athletes too.
Cool.
So instead of following that large group one, we just do it completely individualized.
So if somebody's interested, they could just reach out, kind of tell you what they're thinking, and you could help marry the right approach.
Absolutely. Yeah, but we can do virtual assessments just the same way that we've done them in person.
And I will recommend that if somebody signs up or goes and gets those exercises, that they do them.
I feel judged.
I was only looking at you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm not saying I don't do them.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people who do stuff regularly. Who sign up for things or they pay for things. They're like, why are you paying for something you're not going to do? Well, I mean, my coach tells me I'm supposed to do a run warm up. Well, I mean, maybe it's a suggestion.
Well, our motto is just show up. And I'll be honest that I'm not always showing up when I go to that. But it is, I will say, we fall into the trap of there's certain things that it's easier to brush off than mm-hmm. others. But this is incredibly important. It's the reason we wanted to do an episode on it. And man, you have been fantastic. Total value add. And for everybody listening, I would just say kind of what we said when we came in. Consider if you're not already working with a PT, if you're not already doing a running assessment, consider how that can help your journey, whatever that next goal is for you. Obviously, if you're local, you know, Brandon's the one that we're going to point you to. Go check him out, Change the Game, Performance Therapy. But if you're not local, it sounds like, Brandon, you can still do quite a bit, you know, for people. But if not, you know, look into it, figure out, because I definitely think it's at least worth the consideration.
Yeah, I think getting a running assessment, regardless of who does it for them, is critical for somebody who wants to be in the sport for a long time.
Yeah. Well, regardless of who does it is a big
but you know, but there. Well, the way we define them, I apologize.
Right. Yeah.
I don't mean your shoe store.
Quality, right. Quality matters. It was a very eye-opening experience. And I think we both got a lot out of it in terms of how we look at stuff going forward. But to the Ultra Running Guys family, I'll say again, thank you so much. Hopefully you got, you know, just a lot of value out of this. Make sure you are going to follow Brandon, you know, check out everything that he's got out there. It's going to be value out. I promise that. And again, if you're finding the value from it, tell your friends, leave us the review, you know, do that rating, all that good stuff. Brandon, man, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. We're going to keep you around for a little game we do for Patreon. It's one of our favorite parts. And for everybody else, we'll talk soon. Guts.
It's been good. Busy day. Started with this guy here.
I'll say, I heard you had a rough client today.
Yeah. I know. It's right out the gate to start the week.
Might as well have somebody difficult.
We want the newer
He's
runners.
He's good at dumb stuff, well.
Dan. Yeah. No, if you can make this guy understand it, we're going
to
be all right.
I'm learning to walk. I'm telling you.
But as always, we're going to jump right in. So here's the deal. You got a dog back there? Mm-hmm. That works.
We have a game.
I know, a game I wasn't told about. I didn't get to practice.
Yep,
perfect. It's like when I show up for PT, I don't get to practice my exercises either, and you get to do them on the spot.
Is it Ostrander or Ostrander?
I think it's Ostrander, but I'm going to ask.
Pronounce your last name.
Ostrander.
Yeah, I would have said it wrong. I was saying Ostrander.
Yes,
yeah, Ostrander.
Long O.
Yeah.
If you're off the grid when it comes out, then just be prepared for all the incoming messages of your new adoring fans.
You may get one.
Right.
You may get one. Why do we look so much smaller? See, it's because he's sitting closer to the camera.
This is a new computer.
Yeah, but you guys got a nice setup. Like, your video is clear. Mine's looks... is.
You hear that?
It's awesome. Clear.
It actually is clearer.
Again, thanks for having me on for this. This was a lot of fun.
We enjoyed it, man. Thank you.
Yep. I'll see you guys later.
See you, brother.
You too.
All right, listen, thank you so much. We recognize the fact that you are probably just hanging on just for a couple more minutes as you're finishing up your run. But really, we do want to give you a huge thank you for the constant support that you've shown us. We hear you and we feel you. And the best way for us to continue to grow is for you to share us with your friends. Tell them what you put in your ears when you're out there on a long run. Hit the like button, leave us a comment, leave a review, and give us some direct feedback on what you like about the show and also what you don't like. We're here to improve and do it for you.
And it really means the world. And listen, if you would like to support financially, you can connect with us on Patreon at patreon.com/theultrarunningguys, or you can use the support link in the show notes. Any and all support goes directly back into growing the show and helping us get better at what we love to do, which is to serve all of you. And with that, finish up that run, get cleaned up, and just show up.
Clean.
Clean.